I will speak the glories of Vrajavasis. Now, here it's a lecture. It's not a formal lecture. She automatically, like, it was an emotional outburst on her side. It's not that she's planning to glorify them in a systematic way. Like, it's not a planned podcast here. It's like very spontaneously, as soon as Uddhava said, indirectly hinted the glory of the gopis and Vrajavasis, immediately Mother Rohini said that, Uddhava, you reminded me of that. Although almost a century passed by now, Rohini Mata relocated from Vrindavan to Mathura, then eventually came to Dwarka as Vasudeva's wife. So almost like several decades passed, still the memories of Rohini Mata's stay in Vrindavan along with Yashoda and Nanda and Krishna and Balaram are very fresh in her memory. All the childhood pastimes of Krishna are imprinted in the memory of Mother Rohini. And somehow with great difficulty she's subduing those memories, she's sidelining those memories, she's trying not to bring up those memories because that will only increase her pain in the heart, especially her empathy towards Yashoda Mata. Yashoda and Rohini are inseparable, like sisters. And Yashoda and Rohini Mata, these two devotees, they loved and served Krishna and Balaram as their children. Sometimes Yashoda Mata gives her milk to Balaram. And sometimes Rohini Mata gives her milk to Krishna. So two mothers are taking care of two children as if they were their own. Of course, Yashoda Mata is always one step ahead of Rohini Mata's Vatsalya Prema. But Rohini Mata's Vatsalya affection for Krishna is even superior to Vasudev's, her husband's. Superior to Devaki Mata's also. Because Rohini has Vrindavan touch. She is associate of Yashoda Mata for 11 years during the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So she just could not control herself, and Uddhava indirectly reminded her of Vrindavan memories. She became overwhelmed with ecstatic feelings and she started speaking. She said, "Alas, the Vrajavasis have been devastated by cruel fate. Now they are drowning in an ocean of grief. They are in deep pain of separation from Krishna. They are like victims of an underwater fire." What about fire? Then she says, "When Vasudev brought me from Gokul to Mathura, I can still remember the way Mother Yashoda cried. Piteously she cried. Seeing her tears, even rocks will melt, mountains will break. First, Yashoda Mata felt intense pain of separation and anguish when Akrura came to Vrindavan. Akrura came with a news saying that Kamsa is calling Krishna and Balaram for Dhanuryaga. Yashoda Mata could not say anything. Nanda Maharaj could not say anything, but he had to say something. Because he's the king. It is his responsibility. When the emperor, he's the king of small village, Vrindavan, and Kamsa is the king of the entire province there. And when the superior king is telling his subordinate king, send your sons, bring your sons for Dhanuryaga, Nanda Maharaj cannot say no for it. Nanda Maharaj is obliged to follow that order. So Nanda Maharaj was patiently hearing. There was a big meeting in that night. Nanda Maharaj called all the chief members of cowherd community and declared, actually Krishna declared, that Kamsa is calling us for this Dhanuryaga because he's a king, cruel king. We are obliged to go with all our taxes and other gifts. But very strangely he is calling me, calling Balaram also. Till now Nanda Maharaj was going and paying taxes, but Krishna and Balaram were called for the first time. So Krishna and Balaram said, "We are obliged to go. But don't worry, my dear Vrajavasis. This is the first time I am stepping out of Vrindavan. But still, you don't worry. If Kamsa does some mischief, I will kill him. You have seen me." All the Vrajavasis are filled with emotions, but Krishna is consoling them. "You have seen me kill so many demons, like Bakasur, Vatsasur, Vyomasur, Arishtasur. If Kamsa does some mischief, I will kill this fellow also. Don't worry, and I will come back in 2-3 days. It's a long discussion, long discussion. But when all this discussion was going on, Mother Yashoda was behind curtains. Probably only her silhouette is visible like this. So she is peeping, could not say anything, cannot say no, cannot say yes. Hare Krishna. She could not say anything. So she was secretly, silently weeping, thinking of the imminent separation from Krishna. Now Krishna was taken away. Krishna was taken away by Akrura. All the gopis of Vrindavan came there. They said, Akrura, if at all you want to take Krishna away from Vrindavan, you take Krishna, you take your chariot over our dead bodies. Many gopis came and lied down on the road, on the pathway. They said, Akrura, take your chariot across our dead bodies. And some gopis went and caught the chariot wheels of Akrura. And some gopis went and caught the horses of Akrura's chariot. Some gopis went and caught Balaram and then cried piteously. And some gopis, and especially Radharani, went and caught Krishna and cried piteously, pleading, Govinda, Damodara, Madhava, please don't go. Sri Krishna Vishnu Madhukaita Bhare Bhaktanukampin Bhagavan Murare. Oh Krishna, Bhaktanukampin, you are supposed to be very affectionate and compassionate towards your devotees. Bhaktanukampin Bhagavan Murare Trayasva Mam Keshavalokanatha Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So they are piteously crying, Govinda Damodara Madhava, stay back, then please don't go anywhere. But Akrura, acting like Krura, he had to take Krishna away. And all the gopis, Yashodhamata also, they were just standing there like figures in painting. Till the last speck of dust settled. When Akrura was driving his chariot, there's some dust raised by the chariot wheels and the horses, right? Till the last speck of the dust settled, they were standing there, stunned, like figures in painting, unable to shed tears also, because whole night they were crying. They don't have tears also left, dry, standing there. Yashodhamata is also stunned. Then Krishna went, killed Kamsa, killed Kovalayapeda, Krishna and Balaram together killed Chandvara, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kuta, all this killing thing is done. Then now Krishna has to come back to Vrindavan. But Krishna is not allowed to come back to Vrindavan. Even Krishna is missing Vrindavan. Krishna was supposed to come back to Vrindavan, but Vasudev says, I want Krishna here. Before that, I want Balaram here. Because it is well known fact that Balaram is the son of Rohini Mata and Vasudev. Because of circumstances, Vasudev left Rohini Mata and Balaram in Vrindavan, in Nanda Maharaja's home. Now Kamsa's fear is gone. So technically speaking, Balaram has to stay with Vasudev and Rohini Mata also has to stay with Vasudev. Rohini is still there in Vrindavan along with Yashoda. Balaram ji and Krishna came to Mathura and Vasudev says, keep Balaram here. Vasudev also wants Krishna there. But he says, keep Balaram here. Balaram says, I cannot stay without Krishna. So now two options. Either Balaram ji has to go with Krishna to Vrindavan or Krishna has to stay in Mathura along with Balaram. Two options. Then Nanda Maharaj, out of his magnanimity, he thought that I will tolerate the pain of separation from Krishna, but I cannot tolerate the pain of Vasudev in separation from Balaram. 11 years Balaram was tolerating separation, 11 years Vasudev was tolerating separation from Balaram. Now it's appropriate that I leave Balaram with Vasudev. But because Balaram cannot tolerate separation from Krishna, I must leave Krishna also here. Let me tolerate separation from Krishna. But at that moment, innocent Nanda Maharaj, he was empathetic towards Vasudev and Balaram, but in the heart of his heart, he was hoping that after a few days, Krishna will come back.
So with that hope,
he left. He left Krishna there. He came empty-handed. Without Krishna, he came back. Then after a while, Vasudev came and took Rohini Mata also from Yashoda Mata. First, Nanda Maharaj returned without Krishna, and here Yashoda Mata is crying. Rohini was supposed to console. But after a while, Vasudev took away Rohini Mata also. Now, Yashoda Mata was not left with anyone. Her two children, Krishna and Balram, are not with her. Her dear friend, Rohini, was not with her. And Yashoda Mata piteously cried in Vrindavan. Piteously cried. And when Rohini was leaving Nanda Maharaj's home, the kind of tears that Yashoda Mata shed would melt rocks, would break mountains. And Rohini Mata is remembering that scene now and says, "Oh, Narada Muni, oh, Uddhava, I just cannot forget what Yashoda Mata, how Yashoda Mata cried there." And that is about Yashoda Mata's tears. What to speak of younger gopis? She was crying that made even stones shed tears and lightning bolts shatter. But the gopis, younger gopis like Radharani, they were lying there like corpses, dead bodies, devoid of life. To that degree, Vrajavasis love Krishna. And she further says, now, after Krishna settled in Mathura, I cannot just go through Yashoda Rohini Mata's words only, because you may not know the full context. Behind every statement made by Mother Rohini, there is an incident connected. There is previous history also. So, Krishna, when he settled in Mathura with so much pain of separation from his Vrajavasis, he was sent to school. Because Krishna was not trained, he was trained as a Vaishya to tend cows, but he was not trained as a Kshatriya. So to get all that training in 64 arts, Krishna was sent to Sandipani Muni school. But Krishna is so expert, wonderful student, he learned 64 arts in 64 days. And he came back from Ujjain to Mathura. And Rohini Mata, very, very gently went to Krishna and said, "Krishna, when Vasudev brought me from Vrindavan to Mathura, your mother, Yashoda, cried." She wanted to say it with sensitivity. She thought that if I elaborately describe the pain underwent by Mother Yashoda, Krishna will be devastated. Krishna will feel that pain. He's a small child, 11-year-old boy. I should not completely tell him the extent of pain experienced by Mother Yashoda, but I must reveal something to him. She kind of hinted and very briefly described the pain of Mother Yashoda to Krishna. And her intention was, after Krishna hears this little description from me, Krishna will be inspired to go to Vrindavan and console the Vrajavasis. Let him go to Vrindavan. What's a big problem? Vrindavan is not so far from Mathura. He is in Mathura. Let him go to Vrindavan. Let him console. Let him see Yashoda Mata and Nanda Maharaj and console them a little bit. That's her intention. But Krishna did not do that. And Rohini Mata is blaming Krishna. "I told him about the pain of Mother Yashoda. But Krishna was so insensitive, indifferent, apparently, that he did not choose to go to Vrindavan. He did not go personally to console Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. And instead, this Krishna sent you, Uddhava. Instead of personally going and consoling his parents and all the Vrajavasis, he had sent you as a messenger. Therefore, you went. And you came with this whole news. And Uddhava came back and he shared his experiences of staying in Vrindavan. And Krishna was hearing continuously, yes. Aur bolo, aage bolo. Just speak more. He was saying, but he is not personally going. So, Rohini Mata spoke about the pain of Vrajavasis to Krishna after he came back from his education, school. But Krishna did not go. He sent Uddhava. Then Uddhava consoled the Vrajavasis, tried to console Vrajavasis, and he came back to Krishna and he started speaking to Krishna. Then also Krishna did not go to reveal something that comes in future. After Uddhava came back and told Krishna, please go to Vrindavan, Krishna did not go. Then Krishna sent Balaramji. Balaram went to Vrindavan. This time Balaramji saw the pain of Vrajavasis and he came back from Vrindavan. He told Krishna, Krishna, you should go to Vrindavan. Then also Krishna did not go. Rohini Mata is saying, Uddhava is saying, Balaramji is saying, still Krishna is not going to Vrindavan. Therefore Rohini Mata is blaming Krishna now, scolding Krishna in one sense, right? For not visiting Vrindavan. Then Vrajavasis, Krishna, he did not soften his heart. Although I described the pain of Mother Yashoda, he did not soften his heart. And Vrajavasis, they have absolutely no other pain. When demons were attacking him, Vrajavasis were comfortable. When demons were attacking Krishna, Vrajavasis did not feel so much pain. The pain that Vrajavasis are feeling in separation from Krishna is millions and millions of times greater than the so-called pain that they experienced when some Dharishtasura, Dhenukasura, or Vatsasura, Vyomasura attacked them. Even when Krishna lifted Govardhan, when Indra created devastating rainfall, that also did not torment the Vrajavasis. In fact, they were happy. They were so happy that they got to see Krishna for 1 week continuously. Generally, when there is floods, and you came out of your home to a different place, you'll think, what happened to my home? I kept my iPhone for charging. What happened to it? To the phone, there are floods at home. What happened to my car? What happened to whatever other things, paraphernalia is there? But they were not thinking at all. In fact, when Indra stopped his rainfall also, when Krishna kept Govardhan mountain back in its place also, none of the Vrajavasis were in mood to go back to their homes. To that degree, they love Krishna. They love Krishna more than their homes, more than their children, more than everything else in the entire creation. Now there, Krishna is not there with them. Krishna is very indifferent. Even then, your Lord did not go to help them. Now he has other goals to accomplish, other priorities. What is that other priority? Yadus. Yadus, he is spending time with Yadus, but not with Vrajavasis. Meanwhile, Padmavati, Kamsa's mother, she intervened. Now her intervention in this whole conversation looks like a great disturbance and distraction and a tangent in such an emotionally loaded conversation. But from another perspective, her intervention, her intrusion into this conversation with totally off topics, that kind of enhanced the flavor of this whole conversation. We will see eventually as we proceed in this chapter, next chapter. So Rohini Mata, the darling of Padmavati, she said, this Rohini is so biased towards Vrajavasis. She is blaming Krishna for not going to Vrindavan and consoling those uncivilized, forest dwelling, mountain wandering cowherds. What have they done to Krishna? They engaged Krishna in tending cows. They used Krishna in taking care of their cows and lifting cow dung and going into the forest, which are filled with thorns and bushes and sharp stones. And they did not even give shoes to Krishna to wear. Krishna was abused. Krishna was exploited by the Vrajavasis in Vrindavan. All the gopis are tormenting him. They did not even feed him properly. One day Krishna, out of hunger, he tried to eat some butter, and that cowherd lady, she tied Krishna. She abused Krishna. She chastised him. Although Krishna was not getting bound, she joined hundreds and thousands of ropes to bind him for eating little butter, for breaking little pot. Mother, this Padmavati, Kamsamata, Padmavati is blaming. Vrajavasis' treatment of Krishna is like very exploitative. With small child at the age of 3-4, he's sent into the forest filled with so many ferocious animals and hideous beasts without shoes to take care of cows. Cows are so big, Krishna is so small. So she is displaying some kind of grandfatherly affection, grandmotherly affection for Krishna, and saying this Vrajavasis have mistreated Krishna, abused Krishna. Krishna is not supposed to go back to them. That is her point. And Rohini Mata completely ignored her words. Because she is very old, she lost control over what she is speaking. She is not speaking with intelligence. Because of like advanced age, she is not presenting things very logically. Speaking something, little tangential. But Rohini Mata completely ignored him. And she continued to speak. This Krishna is very indifferent towards the gopis. And when Krishna went to Mathura, he killed many enemies. And he relaxed for a while at Vishram Ghat and became the ruler of the kings in Dwaraka. Basically not ruler, but a prince of Dwaraka. He became Dwarakadhish and is caught up in these details. He's not going to Vrindavan. Rohini Mata continued to maintain her mood despite the interruption of Padmavati. She continued to blame Krishna and quote-unquote scold Krishna for not going to Vrindavan. Then Rukmini Devi came and defended Krishna. She said, Rohini Mata, we respect you, but what are you saying? Krishna is indifferent to the Vrajavasis. Krishna is insensitive to the Vrajavasis. Krishna is not caring for the Vrajavasis. Krishna is not remembering the Vrajavasis. What are you saying? My dear Rohini Mata, please understand that Krishna is constantly meditating on Vrajavasis. In fact, he thinks only about Vrajavasis. While living in Dwarka, while sitting in Dwarka, he is thinking only about Vrajavasis. He is not even seeing us as wives. Krishna is not even seeing us as wives. He, Dwarkavasis are like virtually non-existent for Krishna. Throughout the night, I know. When Krishna is sleeping, throughout the night, he just says, Radharani, where are you? Lalita, Vishakha. Sometimes he remembers his mother, Yashoda. Sometimes he calls his cows. Oh my cows, where are you? Sometimes he remembers his mountains and rivers throughout the night. I am only seeing, like, have you seen small children sleeping in different postures? Right? Like this, all kinds of postures. Little kids, did you sleep like that? You don't know, you are sleeping. So, Krishna, when he is sleeping on his bed, Rohini Mata, Rukmini observes, Krishna is sleeping in Tribhanga posture. His neck is bent. And not only Tribhanga posture, he's in this posture also, while sleeping. Can you just imagine? He is constantly absorbed in Vrindavan. Throughout the night, he is calling out the names of Vrajavasis. He is manifesting physical gestures and postures like a Vrajavasi and playing flute. Then Satyabhama intruded. Satyabhama said, Rukmini, what are you saying? You are saying that throughout the night Krishna is remembering Vrindavan, meditating on Vrindavan, dreaming about Vrindavan. Even during the daytime also he does the same thing. You are saying only night? No, even during the daytime also he says the same thing. Even I am there, Satyabhama is right in front of him. He is remembering Radharani. He is remembering the cows and calves and peacocks and butterflies of Vrindavan, Yashoda Mata, Nanda Maharaj, constantly remembering him. Remembering them, we are non-existent. He doesn't love us. His body is here. His mind is not here. His heart is completely in Vrindavan. Rohini Mata, you are saying he's indifferent? What kind of judgment is this? So Rohini Mata, Rukmini and Satyabhama are defending Krishna. And in fact, she says, today Krishna is lying there sleeping. He's not in this picture. So in the previous picture, you have seen Krishna is lying there, right? The reason for Krishna's lying there like that, with his blanket on his face like this, if I put a picture like this, you will not understand it is Krishna, therefore we did not put blanket there. Right? But actually when Krishna slept in the past time, he kept his blanket on top like this. His face is not visible. He is covering himself. Satyabhama, Rukmini, they say that Krishna under the blanket is meditating on Vrajavasis. He is absorbed in remembrances of Krishna. Looks like during the night he must have seen something in his dream connected to Vrindavan. Therefore, Krishna is not waking up till now. Lost in the memories of Vrindavan, he doesn't even care for Brahma Muhurta. He doesn't care for his Vedic rites. He doesn't bother to get up early in the morning also. He's sleeping throughout the night. And during the daytime also, early morning also. And Sudharma assembly hall is waiting for him. He is under the blanket, he is meditating on Vrindavan. So then Balramji comes there. He kind of confronts Rukmini and Satyabhama. Rukmini and Satyabhama, you ladies, what are you saying? Krishna is constantly meditating on Vrindavan. Under the blanket, he is remembering Vrindavan. You are saying like that? He is just doing natak. I know his natak. Since his birth, I have been witnessing him. I am his closest associate. Pakka drama artist, Krishna. He not only dresses himself like a drama artist, he also acts like a drama artist. Natavara vapuhu. Natavara, not only Natavara vapu, he has Natavara prakriti also. Natavara nature also. So he is like a drama artist. He is deceiving us. He is making a show to all of us that he is remembering Vrijavasis. Even in his dreams, even during the daytime, even while skipping his morning rituals. But he is very insensitive, very indifferent. He is not going to Vrindavan. He must go to Vrindavan. He must understand the problem there, that the Vrijavasis cannot survive without his presence. He's supposed to be empathetic, he should go. And he said many other things. And Balramji anxiously requested Krishna. Krishna, I told him, after my visit to Vrindavan, I told him, Krishna, please find some excuse to go to Vraja and console Mother Yashoda, console Radharani, console Nanda Maharaj. But he agreed. Krishna agreed, yes, I will go, my dear brother, I will definitely go. Thank you very much for all the information, all the updates you have given me. We didn't have Google here, but we have given all updates by personally witnessing. But I will go definitely, but he never went. Hearing these words, Krishna was overwhelmed with emotions. He was like this, right? He opened the blanket. He came out. He came out of his bed weeping, crying, screaming loudly. He was behaving more strangely than Narada Muni did sometime back. So he, although he is apparently in trance, he was hearing all the words of Rohini Mata. He was hearing all the words of Uddhava. He heard all the words of Balram also. Now he got up from his sleep. When Balramji personally said that Krishna is insensitive to Vrijavasis, he is not visiting Vrindavan, Krishna just could not compose himself anymore. He got up from his bed and he started crying profusely. Then Krishna said, my heart is like solid diamond. And don't think it's a glorification. Heart is like diamond. No, diamond is very hard. My heart is as hard as a diamond. It doesn't melt. Even though I am hearing such painful description of Vrijavasis' feelings of separation from my beloved associates Balaram, Rohini Mata and Uddhava, my heart is not still breaking and I am still living. That shows how hard-headed I am. Then he goes to Uddhava and says, my dear Uddhava, my dear brother Uddhava, you tell me, what can I do for Vrijavasis now? I am really sympathetic and empathetic towards Vrijavasis after hearing the descriptions of all of you. I really want to do something for them. Uddhava, tell me, what can I do for them? Just guess what Uddhava is going to suggest. Just go, pay a visit, meet them. He's about to suggest that. Then Devaki Mata immediately intervened here. She said, she was anticipating, Uddhava might tell Krishna, Krishna, please go to Vrindavan. No, Uddhava is not supposed to say it. I can't tolerate separation from Krishna. He's supposed to stay in Dwarka only. Once he goes to Vrindavan, he may not come back. He will stay with Yashoda Mata only permanently. So out of her anxiety, out of her motherly affection in Aishwarya Bhava, whatever, Devaki Mata intruded and said, Krishna, I know what you are supposed to do for them. You can give them gifts. You can profusely give them as many gifts as you want. So that is Devaki's advice. Anticipating that Uddhava would tell Krishna to go to Vrindavan, she did not want that to happen. She said, just give them some gifts. Send whatever gifts you want.
We are very opulent. We have so much opulence in Dwarka. So give whatever gifts you want.
And that made Padmavati anxious. Padmavati felt that maybe Krishna will give away all the opulence of Dwarka to Vrajavasis. And the king of Dwarka, my husband Ugrasena, will be bankrupt. He will come on roads. He has to beg in Vrindavan for some jewels or for some wealth. And he, no, Krishna is not supposed to give whatever he wants to Vrajavasis. He can give, but appropriately. Then Padmavati very, very expertly intruded and said, Krishna, why are you lamenting? Yes, definitely Vrajavasis must have given you so many comforts and facilities apparently when you are living in Vrindavan. But you already repaid them. You worked for free. You were taking care of their cows. You were taking all their cows to the pasturing grounds every day. Did they pay you? Did Nanda Maharaj pay you a single penny for it? You did free service for 11 years there. And they did not even feed you properly. They did not give you shoes also. Without shoes, every day you are entering the forest and without taking a break. Even Balramji took some breaks sometimes. But Krishna never took breaks. So every day you are going to Vrindavan, to the forests of Vrindavan. I think that is sufficient payment. Right? You did free service and they gave you some facility and some room to stay and some butter to eat. That's sufficient, right? You don't have to give anything. But if at all you feel that you want to give something, let's call Gargamuni. Gargamuni is an expert astrologer. He's expert not only in calculating astrological, you know, things, astrological calculations, he's also expert in financial calculations. So he will see for 11 years how many work hours. How many hours did you work for them? So how much is the payment, right? According to that time, place, circumstances, how much is the payment? So he will calculate. If you want to be more liberal, fine, give double payment, no problem. Right? They gave you accommodation, they gave you food, they made you work. So they did not pay. Okay, fine, we will relieve Nanda Maharaj from that payment. Right? Whatever payment that he owes you, Krishna, for tending his cows, we are not expecting that payment from him. We will give payment to him for accommodation. We are so magnanimous. But Nanda Maharaj also accommodated Rohini Mata for 11 years. He gave shelter in his home for 11 years. Food, bed, accommodation. But we will not pay him anything. Why? Rohini is very arrogant. When I spoke something few minutes back, she completely ignored me. So we will not pay anything on her behalf, but we will pay something on your behalf. So you settle the calculations. Krishna acted as if he did not hear what this Padmavati said. Now when you don't want to respond to someone, it's a good technique, teaching taught by Krishna. Just behave, pretend as if you have not heard what they said. Right? So Krishna did that. And Krishna asked Uddhava's advice in general. Originally Krishna asked Uddhava only, what can I do for Vrajavasis? When Uddhava is about to speak, Mother Rohini intruded and said, you give whatever they want, whatever gift they want. Then later Padmavati intruded and she said, let's do some financial calculations. But again Krishna revived that question to Uddhava. Uddhava, tell me, why are you not responding? They are responding fine, I am not hearing them. But why are you not responding? Tell me, what can I do for them? What can I give them? What can I offer them? Then Uddhava felt, what happened to Krishna? Did Krishna really get influenced by the words of Devaki and Padmavati? Is he really planning to offer some gifts to Vrajavasis for hosting him for 11 years? Is he really serious? Krishna, are you really serious? You really want me to suggest what kind of gifts I can give them? Settle accounts? I mean, Uddhava is imagining like that. Out of his intense concern and empathy for the Vrajavasis, he assumed that Krishna is thinking really to offer something to the Vrajavasis and close the accounts. And the thought of Uddhava, I mean, he's supposed to
be little more empathetic towards Krishna, and he should have imagined that Krishna would never think like that. But still, good that he thought, that Krishna thought like this. The reason is, this gave opportunity to Uddhava to speak more glories of Vrajavasis and more extensively describe the pain of Vrajavasis. Uddhava said, Krishna never even think like that. Let's recite the 79th shloka. Naraja Rajeshwarata Vibhutir Nadivya Vastu Nichateva Bhavattaha Nakamayante Nyadapiha Kinchit Amutracha Prapyam Rite Bhavantam Na Raja Rajeshwarata Vibhutir. Oh Krishna, please understand, they don't want anything from you. They don't want the wealth of emperors. They don't want any heavenly enjoyments. They don't want any benediction or opulence or prosperity in this life or the next life. They don't want anything. They want you. They want nothing from you. They want you, yourself. You need to go. Krishna, do you remember when Nanda Maharaj brought you from Vrindavan to Mathura to kill Kamsa, you did not go back with him, but you have sent some gifts. You have sent some profuse gifts, jewels, especially for the ladies of Vrindavan, because many men from Vrindavan came to bring Krishna to Mathura. But many ladies, gopis like Yashoda Mata, Radharani and all, younger gopis, older gopis, they did not come. So, out of your affection for these gopis, you have given so many jewels, so many gifts. And Nanda Maharaj took all these gifts and went to Vrindavan. Yashoda Mata looked at Nanda Maharaj and said, Nanda Maharaj, where is Krishna? Nanda Maharaj did not have an answer. Krishna is in Mathura. Krishna had sent all these gifts for you. Please see these beautiful, beautiful gifts. See, very nice jewels and jewelry, necklaces and bangles and other bracelets and earrings, etc. It's very nice jewelry. Nanda Maharaj is presenting. Yashoda Mata was devastated seeing all those gifts. She said, what does Krishna think of us? Because we took care of him for 11 years, he wants to console us, pacify us, repay us by offering these gifts to us? Did Krishna's thought process became so low like this? How can he even assume that we will be satisfied with these gifts? We will be satisfied only by his personal presence. Yashoda Mata is saying this to Nanda Maharaj. Just imagine, even at our level, if you have done some service, if you have done some good thing for others, out of pure affection, out of genuine emotion, if they just take 100 rupees from their pocket and give you, how will you feel? Even if they give you 500 also, how will you feel? Then you put a little uncomfortable expression, they'll take 500 more and give you. That makes us more embarrassed, more humiliated. Are you repaying us for that love? Can you buy? Can you purchase love? Can you purchase affection? The extent of our emotions are being valued by you in terms of this gold and silver and diamonds and jewels. Yashoda Mata just could not handle it. She said, Nanda Maharaj, what is this? You got jewels? Where is Krishna? Why did you not throw these jewels on their face and bring Krishna here? How can the Mathuravasis send these jewels? Nanda Maharaj thought, yeah, I think I should have done that, right? I should have left all these jewels there only and brought Krishna here. Why did I not do that? He was confused. Because he's also having equal amount of emotions. 3 days, Nanda Maharaj could not speak a single word. For 3 days, he was silent. He could not give an answer to the simple, logical question asked by Mother Yashoda, filled with emotions. Logical emotion. When emotions are supported by logic, my God, you have no answer. When only emotions are there, you have no answer. When only logic is there, no answer. When emotions and logic are like combining together and attacking you, you will have to be defeated completely. So Yashoda Mata could not, Nanda Maharaj could not answer Yashoda Mata's question. Why did you not leave this jewelry in Mathura and just drag Krishna to Vrindavan? Why did you even leave Krishna in Mathura? Nanda Maharaj could not speak three words. Then after that, because he is the leader of that community, he is the king of the cowherds, it is his responsibility to console all people here. And then he came to Yashoda Mata after 3 days, came to all the other gopis and said, "No, my dear Yashoda, please don't misunderstand Krishna. Our son is very noble. Our son is very affectionate towards us. He values our affection. He is never weighing our affection with these jewels. Don't consider this as a payment. Please consider these jewels as a token of his love and affection. At this moment, Krishna has so many responsibilities to fulfill. He only killed Kamsa. He only killed Chanura, Mushtika, etc. He only killed Kamsa's brothers. But there is Jarasandha, there are many other demons, there are so many enemies of Mathura. So they all will attack Mathura. If Krishna is not there, then Mathuravasis cannot survive. So he wants to stay there for some more time to console the relatives and do his responsibilities by killing some demons and make them more comfortable. And then he will come back very soon. He will definitely come back. And when our son has given a promise, he will never go back on his promise. He is very pakka on his promise. I trust my son. Don't you trust your son? So he consoled with clever words, with empathetic words, with very sensitive words, he consoled Yashoda Mata. Then Yashoda Mata wiped her tears and said, "Yes, really, Krishna loves us. Krishna definitely will come back to us. So he, all the jewelry that he has given, is this a token of his affection? If we wear this jewelry, will Krishna be happy?" Nanda Maharaj said, "Yes, yes, of course he will be happy." Yashoda Mata immediately took the jewelry and then decorated herself and then put all the earrings and nathani or whatever, bangles, bracelets, she just wore everything and said, "Yes, when Krishna comes back to Vrindavan from Mathura and he sees that we are wearing the jewelry that he had sent, he will be very pleased that we followed his instructions. And he will stay here only. Let's please him." She has no interest in the jewelry. But Nanda Maharaj convinced her that jewelry is a manifestation of Krishna's affection, Krishna's love. They are tokens of Krishna's love. So Yashoda Mata wore that jewelry, hoping that seeing this jewelry, Krishna will be pleased. And very innocent, very hopeful. Even though Krishna is indifferent. Oh, Uddhava is saying all this to Krishna, by the way. Uddhava, although you are indifferent, you are insensitive, you are just sending them jewelry, sending them gifts, still she is using those gifts, she is wearing that jewelry, hoping that you will come back once again. Now again you are going to send gifts. Don't give so much of importance to the proposals given by, who is that, Padmavati. He did not literally say that, but Uddhava's words are like loaded with emotion, saying that you cannot console Krishna, you cannot console the Vrajavasis with your gifts. Forget it, Krishna. You have to personally go. Then, last time you have sent gifts with Nanda Maharaj that did not have any impact on them. But later you have sent me with a letter. Then also they aspired for your personal presence only. Then Krishna just could not handle this. He broke into tears and he made a gesture. He made a gesture like this. He was basically asking for an ink pot and a feather and a pen to write a letter. Again Uddhava said, "Krishna, what are you planning to do? Are you going to write another letter? Earlier you have sent gifts with Nanda Maharaj. That did not pacify the Vrajavasis. Later you have sent a letter with me. That did not pacify Vrajavasis. Now you are planning to send another letter. What is the use of your letter? You go personally. You cannot send a letter." So then when Uddhava is insisted like this, then Padmavati became insecure. "My God, what happened to this Uddhava? He is convincing Krishna to go. He is planning to send some gifts or letter, and Uddhava is like completely influencing Krishna to go. Please, Krishna, you should not go." I mean, she also has her own affection for Krishna, but she's not very logical and reasonable in her proposals. You know what she said, Padmavati? Oh, foolish Devaki, we understand now. You are inducing Uddhava to speak all this. This Uddhava was sent by Krishna to the Vrajavasis, and Vrajavasis fed him butter, fed him buttermilk, fed him ghee, fed him all kinds of milk products. They hypnotized him. They manipulated him. Now he is speaking a lot on their behalf. Looks like they completely allured him with their milk products, and now he is alluring Krishna to go to Vrindavan, Devaki, and you are supporting it. You are endorsing it. Krishna cannot go from here. That is her point. Why should Krishna go there? That forests of Vrindavan are filled with thorns, bushes, and hideous beasts, and Krishna is walking barefoot there, and Krishna is tending all these cows, and cows are going in different directions. Have you ever tended cows anytime? Did you take cows to the pasturing grounds anytime? Anyone here in your childhood, some Indian villages? Not for fun, seriously. yes. In GV, we went. Like 2010, none of the things were there, none of the buildings and temples were there. So, myself and one more devotee, Jagannath Kripa Prabhu. So we used to go every day morning, some say 9 o'clock, 9:30 after breakfast till lunch time, we used to go with cows. And cows will go in any direction. And we have to run behind the cows and get them back. And they may just touch lovingly our bones with their horns. Sometimes. Right? When they're aggressive. You have to control them. And bulls, my God. And then when bull's nose is not pierced with a rope, bull becomes uncontrollable. And in GV, we don't do that also. We don't pierce. Like, you have to control bulls. And even calf also is very difficult to control sometimes. When you're trying to pull the calf will stamp on your feet, and then lotus footprints of calf on your feet. One nail is gone, some blood is coming. So all this will happen. So it's very difficult to control. I used to go with the cows, and he's more into cows. I was there just for fun. I would go on the tree, sit on a mango tree and practice kartal there. Right? Hey, Prabhu, cow is going there, please run behind him. I will run behind this cow, you run behind that cow. Very difficult. And Krishna has to control all these cows. Not that easy. What's the point of Krishna going back to Vrindavan? Padmavati is saying all this. Then Rohini became furious. She said, "You Kamsa Mata!" She said, "You mother of Kamsa!" She did not say respectfully, "Oh my dear mother-in-law." She did not say that. Rohini became very furious with Padmavati and said, "You Kamsa Mata!" Everybody knows how heinous Kamsa's character is. Now she is addressing Padmavati with the name of Kamsa, in a little disrespectful tone. Old lady, she is not speaking logically. She said, "Do you think that Vrindavan forests are very austere to visit?" Then Rohini Mata profusely glorifies Vrindavan, such beautiful ambience of Vrindavan. She glorifies the cows and calves and birds and beasts and the valleys and the mountains. "You are saying that Krishna is not wearing shoes. Actually, Yashoda Mata gave him shoes. Krishna said, 'I will not wear.' And the soft of the dust of Vrindavan is so soft that it is like baby talcum powder. Krishna's feet are never hurt. In fact, when you go to Vrindavan, you prefer not to walk with shoes. You leave your shoes aside and then you walk barefoot." And Rohini Mata very beautifully, you can go through the book, Rohini Mata very beautifully describes the forests and lakes and rivers and water bodies of Vrindavan. And she says, "Tending cows, of course, generally it is difficult to tend cows, but all the cows and buffaloes and other domestic animals of Vrindavan are so well cultured, well controlled that without Krishna having to do anything, they will come back on their own. They will go into the pasturing grounds, they will eat whatever grasses are there, plants are there with proper discipline, and they will come back on their own. And Krishna doesn't put any effort to take care of the cows throughout the day. Krishna goes along with the cows, and throughout the day, Krishna and the gopas are playing
They are just playing all kinds of games. Krishna is enjoying there. And the cows are in their own world. Sometimes they come and lick Krishna. They shower their affection for Krishna. So there is absolutely no austerity for Krishna while taking care of cows in Vrindavan.
Then Padmavati said, if you say whatever you are saying is true, if the forest animals are very, very well maintained there, Krishna need not exert himself to protect the cows. Why are we hearing some updates from Vrindavan that cows are dying there? Padmavati says, very logical argument. Sitting in Dwarka, she says, I keep hearing updates. Vrindavan news that some cows are dying. Then this time Balramji could not contain himself. Balramji said, cows are dying in separation from Krishna. Not because of starvation. Not only cows, even all the Vrajavasis are dying in separation from Krishna. The real death is not the physical death. The real death is the pain of separation from Krishna. Vrajavasis are so much in agony in separation from Krishna. In fact, they were planning to commit suicide. Please understand. All the Vrajavasis are planning to commit suicide. They want to give up their lives. You are talking about cow's death. All the Vrajavasis are in that condition only. Somebody, some logician may come and say, ah, let them commit suicide. Kalia Lake is there only. Drink some poisonous waters. Actually, our Balramji is addressing Krishna. Krishna, in separation from you, unable to tolerate your absence in Vrindavan, all the Vrajavasis wanted to give up their lives. But they are handcuffed. They are unable to give up their lives. If they go to Kalia Lake to drink some poisonous water, the water is no longer poisonous. Because you have already removed all the poison by subduing Kalia, they are unable to commit suicide by drinking the waters of Kalia Lake. Fine. Why can't they jump into Yamuna River and commit suicide? If someone asks like this, Balramji says, they cannot jump into Yamuna because in separation from Krishna, Yamuna became very dry. So there is no water in Yamuna. Fine, they can climb on the mountain Govardhan and jump from there. Then Balramji says, in separation from you, O Krishna, Govardhan became so short. Govardhan sank into the earth and became so short. Nobody will die by jumping from the Govardhan lake, Govardhan mountain. Fine, there are other means of dying, right? What is that? They can fast until death. They can starve. You know what Balramji said? One who chants the holy names of Krishna will never starve. They will never be afflicted with hunger or thirst. Because they are constantly doing Namasmaran, Krishna Smaran, constantly in remembrance of Krishna, they are unable to starve. That remembrance of Krishna is constantly nourishing their bodies physically and mentally. Physically they are nourished, they are not starved. You want another reference? Go to third canto of Bhagavatam. Devahuti Mata, in separation from Kapila, she did not starve, she is healthy. That remembrance of Krishna, remembrance of Kapila was protecting her. But Krishna, very soon they are going to die. You said four means of death and none of the four means are working. How will they die? Answer is, very soon there will be forest fire in Vrindavan. Entire forest also is burning in separation from you. If you delay going to Vrindavan, this forest will be burnt. All the 12 forests of Vrindavan will be burnt, and in that forest fire, Vrajavasis are going to die. Krishna, if you delay going to Vrindavan, this is what will happen. And Krishna started weeping profusely, piteously. And seeing Krishna's tears, Balramji also started weeping. He started crying profuse tears. Then both of them fainted like this. Krishna and Balaram fainted, and Uddhava, Rohini Mata, Yashoda Mata, Devaki Mata, Narada Muni, all of them are stunned to see this. Krishna and Balaram have equal amount of attachment to Vrindavan. They both fainted. What happened later? It's in the 7th chapter. We'll conclude now. 9:10. I'm sorry for delaying. Thank you very much. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai, Shri Lala Prabhupada ki jai.
Excellent. Hare Krishna. I was looking at the time, but then I thought, I will be the greatest atheist, the greatest disturbance, and all the Brajpasis will kill me if I stop Gauranga Darshan. And 10 minutes, what is 10 minutes? Thank you so much. Really, the nectar was again flowing, the nectar of Krishna Katha. Thank you. I would just like to make three short announcements. My dear devotees, please remember for an exciting completion session or end session, your questions are very, very good. I see there are good number of questions. Here I see someone, I don't know what the question is, but he or she did it right. Said, Tor Hari Parshad, this is a question for you. Hari Parshad, you're not allowed to look at it before. And then there will be the question inside. This is a good format. If you have any questions left or discussion matters, you're very, very much welcome. That's the first thing. Isn't that a beautiful question and answer tool? Very nice. The second little announcement is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita Subodhini, that is a study guide, but it's also a nectarian, not summary, it is a beautiful book on Gauranga Darshan Prabhu's lecture. It has arrived. It is available where the book tables are, just in front of the Prasadam Hall.